We'll continue our discussion on guns and laws now. Oregon passed a background check law that will require background checks on nearly all gun sales, including private sales. The governor signed that bill last month. Then last week, Lane County commissioners took a position against the law in the form of a resolution saying the county would not enforce the law. Jay Bozovich, Lane County Commissioner from West Lane, was one of four votes in favor of the resolution, one against. Jay Bozovich is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Commissioner, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So the background check bill is state law. This could easily have passed the Lane County Commissioner's hands without any particular comment. It's not like you comment on a lot of state laws, I would think. Why was this one worthy of some attention?
Actually, we comment on a lot of state laws. This one just got press. And I want to make a couple corrections. You know, one, I want to correct what we actually did with the resolution. You know, we affirmed our commitments to our rights under the Constitution, both the U.S. and the state, similar to a resolution we passed last year when we were taking a stance against the National Defense Authorization Act and the indefinite detention that's contained in that. And then we made a statement of fact, which is we don't have the resources to enforce this law. Which is just that we don't have the resources currently to prosecute 1,800 viable felonies a year in our state. That was a statement that came from the written testimony of our DA, and our sheriff made similar testimony live at the meeting where we passed this resolution that he doesn't have the resources to enforce this law. And I also want to correct that $60,000 figure that Mr. Prozanski just gave out, Senator Prozanski.
Mm-hmm.
I corrected him yesterday. That was a rough estimate of the how much something would have to cost us to meet the statutory definition of unfunded mandate versus, you know, as soon as you require somebody to spend a dollar and you don't give them the dollar to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
Most people consider that an unfunded mandate, but the state has a statutory definition. The actual cost of enforcing this has not been fully estimated. So his statements around that $60,000 are completely erroneous.
All right,
I corrected him yesterday, and he repeated it again today.
So what is there a figure you do have that you're more comfortable with?
Well, I would say that a single case, start to finish, from a sheriff deputy doing the investigation, arrest, detention, DA, you know, assistant DA picking up the prosecution, it's a misdemeanor, so we have to, you know, if he's actually convicted, the person's actually convicted, they stay in our jail, not a state prison, and then when they go on probation afterwards, we actually pay the parole officers in this county. So from start to finish of a case is $10,000 to $20,000 for a single case, let alone, you know, if we do 10 or 12 a year, it could be anywhere from $100,000 to $200,000 to be enforcing misdemeanors, which we don't really prosecute misdemeanors in this county anyway. We can't prosecute all the felonies.
Mm-hmm.
So all right, that's where we are.
Okay, so I was going to head to this. The money would only be spent if people do not comply with the law, right?
Yeah.
All right,
well,
but it
would be spent. There are a couple other pieces of the law that require us to spend money, which is, one, instead of having the state do the data entry on the mental health court orders, it requires our sheriff to do that data entry. And then second, it actually has a statement that changed the way they did the background checks that come up negative on the entire system, not just the new ones they're adding, that if they come up with a problem, the state police turn that data over to local law enforcement for investigation and enforcement, whereas it used to be the state police that did that investigation.
All right. Is there any chance you think that you might be inciting people to not comply with the law by saying you're not going to enforce it in Lane County?
No more than we're inciting home burglaries, because we don't investigate or arrest people for home burglary. We send a form so they can report it to us and then get a case numbers for their insurance.
All right, there's pretty clear wording at the end of the resolution. Lane County will not expend any county resources for the implementation and enforcement of Senate Bill 941. In your time in office, can you remember another position that was quite this direct about it?
Not exactly. I mean, we were pretty direct about the National Defense Authorization Act also, in Sections 1021 and 1022, which had a unanimous vote of the board. So, you know, we've taken stances against laws that have been passed by a legislature and then signed by the president, in the past, after they ignored our lobbying prior to actually passing it, we actually didn't take a stance against Senate Bill 941. We just asked for amendments to it, one of which was to provide funding if you pass the bill. And not only did they not provide funding for that, there are several unfunded mandates they've passed so far this year, none of them that deal with constitutionally protected rights. And they also are not going to, at least they're proposing right now, not fully funding several programs that help our law enforcement. So at the same time they're passing laws that require us to spend more money, they're actually reducing or going back on promises around the Justice Reinvestment Program, community corrections, support for local jail beds. You know, I could go down a list of where they're shortchanging the public safety system, yet continuing to pass additional laws for us to enforce.
I should point out that to listeners who might not be fully aware that Lane County, as one of the ONC counties, has faced a lot of the same issues that have been faced in other ONC counties, where the funding for general services in the county generally came from timber sales. And with those crashing in recent years and the federal money to replace the timber money dropping precipitously, Lane County's been forced with some pretty serious cuts in programs. If you weren't in that situation, would this have been as big a deal, do you think, Jay Bozovich?
I think it would still be an issue for us. I mean, there were some things that we asked for, something very simple as rapid destruction of the background check records and third-party verification of that destruction. You know, one of the things that folks are concerned about is this is a de facto gun ownership and gun registration system. The current systems, you know, that the federal systems is just a paper copy kept in each individual store by the private owner of that store. This system actually gives the state those records in computer format in a database, which our state hasn't exactly been great at their internet security, as witnessed by the Secretary of State's data breach last year.
Right, and other issues with computer programs like Cover Oregon. We need to go too far down that trail, yeah.
Yeah, so supposedly they live for 5 years in the state's computer system. You know, who else is going to get that database? You know, is it going to end up in the NSA's hands? You know, It's just, you know, it would have been a very simple thing for Senator Posansky to listen to our input and just put something in the bill that, you know, I was asking for a 90-day record retention and a third-party audit once a year of guaranteeing that those records have been destroyed. I don't know why that was an issue for them, that they couldn't put it in the bill, unless they have the ulterior motive of converting this to a registration system later.
So will it be the state police maintaining this database?
Yes.
Or holding the records? Okay.
Yep.
We're talking to Jay Bozovich, a Lane County commissioner from District, from West Lane, let's put it that way. District
West
1,
Lane.
I'm sorry.
District 1 is the number, but.
I lost my place on the paper. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the Lane County commissioner's resolution against Senate Bill 941, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. John in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, my question. This is a passionate issue, really passionate. And I'll give you an example. When the governor signed that bill, my wife has Facebook, and a number of her conservative friends, and they're wonderful people, they just have to be conservative, are really upset. And so I guess my question to you is just why so passionate about this one? I think above all other issues, this is a big one. So anyway, that's my question to you. Why so passionate?
Thanks for that, John. Appreciate it.
I the passion revolves around the fact that this is a constitutionally specifically mentioned right in the Bill of Rights, and it basically says shall not infringe in the Second Amendment. And if you look at Oregon's Constitution, Article 1, Section 27, it has an even stronger statement of the right to bear arms. It doesn't mention militia. It says the people shall have the right to bear arms for the defense of themselves. So when you get close to infringing on that right, a lot of people get pretty, you know, pretty emotional and and concerned because they feel like a lot of their other rights are dependent on the fact that they have personal protection. So that's just where some of the emotion comes from in that sense. And just that kind of, you know, is it really effective? Our DA basically said he does not feel this bill will even have any impact on felons getting weapons. Our sheriff made the same statement. Now, our DA is a Democrat. I don't even know what my sheriff is. So it's not just, you know, Republicans saying this. It's other people that are law enforcement professionals that say it's an ineffective bill, but it comes very close to treading on constitutionally protected rights, and particularly that it becomes this de facto gun registration system.
Right, that's twice you said close or very close, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's actually infringing on rights.
There hasn't been a court case yet.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's been really upsetting to folks about this was the attachment of an emergency clause.
Oh, that makes it take effect sooner.
Well, it also prevents the people from referring it to the ballot. Every state law that's passed by a legislature is available for referendum unless it's passed with an emergency clause. And this is the same folks that just passed motor voter because they felt it was so important for people to exercise their voting rights, yet they've been sticking emergency clauses on every piece of controversial legislation they can after the defeat of the driver's license bill last year that got referred. And it's an abuse of the emergency clause. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, folks that have been talking to me, I'm not involved in the recalls at all, but the ones that are, that's one of their major issues, is the use of the emergency clause to prevent Oregon voters the right to referral.
They could put it to a vote anyway, couldn't they? I mean, they could vote to repeal it, and it doesn't necessarily mean to be about this particular law being referred before it takes effect, right?
Right. So what you would have to do now, and this gets really complex, you would have to write a ballot measure, get it through all the hoops that's required with the Secretary of State and the courts to get it, you know, the correct titles, to make it single subject, whatever else, which, of course, the bill isn't single subject. It covers multiple sections of ORS. And then get that through, get enough signatures, get it back on the ballot. In the meantime, the bill's been effective for 2 or 3 years while you're going through that process. The referral process was meant for the voters to be able to go, oh, my gosh, you guys did something we completely object to, and we're going to refer it before it becomes effective, and we'll have a statewide vote on that issue. And that's what happened with the driver's license for non-residents last year, and it was defeated by an overwhelming number of Oregonians. And if this is supported by 80% of the people, like some of the support groups said it is, why did they bother attaching an emergency clause? If that strongly supported, it'd be difficult to get enough signatures in the 90 days for a referral. So it's an abuse of power using the emergency clause. That was the second thing that I lobbied very strongly for, was remove the emergency clause.
The discussion of gun ownership as a fundamental right. We're talking about, you mentioned going through hoops to get a vote on this, if you want to go through the Secretary of State's office. But this is really about going through hoops to get your gun. There's another fundamental right, which is voting, which you have to go through hoops in a number of states, and increasingly more so in a bunch of them, just to be able to exercise that right to vote. I mean, are you as concerned about curtailment of voting rights as you are about potential curtailment of gun rights?
You know, actually, I don't think there's that many hoops to go through to vote in some of those other states. You know, proving that you are who you are as you vote, I think, is not an unreasonable restriction on a voting right. You know, similar to one of the things that a lot of the background checks that come back bad on are partly because somebody presented an ID that was out of date. And not necessarily that they were a felon or not legally able to, but the checks come back bad because of a bad ID. You know, that's the sort of thing, you know, and you know, I don't think, we didn't take a stance against background checks, In fact, there's a portion of this bill that Lane County's been lobbying for 3 years, mm-hmm. which is the mental health portion of it. You know, we understand we want to keep guns out of the hands of felons and guns out of the hands of people that are under court order for a mental health condition. It's, you know, and to do that, you have to present ID and prove that you are a person that legally is able to own a gun. You know, and presenting ID to show that you are actually the voter casting that ballot is no different. You know, that's just a matter of proving you are who you are.
All right.
And I don't think that's a real issue. And, mm-hmm. and it's not that we're taking issue with that portion of background checks. You know, there are some people that are against any sort of background check. We're not taking that stance, and that's not what Lane County did.
All right.
You know, and I just want to make that clear.
Okay. We got Senator Przanski back on another line. He apparently wants to rebut some stuff here. Senator Floyd Przanski, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange with Jay Bozovich, Lane County Commissioner.
Hi, Jeff. Hey, Jay. So I just want to respond to the record retention. The law does provide for up to 5 years for those records to be retained. The state police have identified and have actually documented that the vast majority of those records are, in fact, destroyed within 14 days. The reason that they would hold them for the full 5 years is someone that's actually out denied, and they want to ensure that they keep those records because of the denial, or if someone actually had a hold placed on their background check to get the approval because they had something in their past, such as something out of state, that they had to search, and it took some time for that to occur. Out of a courtesy, they will hold on to those for up to 5 years as provided by law to allow those individuals to not have to go through another delay if they purchase another gun during that five-year period. Regarding the emergency clause, there are three parts of the bill. Two of them went into effect immediately, and when Jay says that he supports the mental health part, that's why we put the emergency clause on there, so it would go into effect immediately. As I mentioned earlier, is there a 90-day wait on the background check itself, but we wanted to ensure two things happened immediately, and one was that someone's going into outpatient mental health treatment, they're in a mental health crisis, that those individuals could be before the court and could be determined to not have access to guns. And we also wanted to ensure the executive order that went into effect last year under Governor Kitzhaber, requiring the notification to the local law enforcement stayed in place because it's only an executive order. The last thing I wanted to comment on is the constitutional protections. Jay's forgot to mention that on the Heller decision, which is the keynote decision, Scalia basically said, although we do not undertake an exhaustive historical analysis today,
Floyd, if
on
I could interrupt,
scope,
yeah, let me just
use that. You said that yesterday. That was what we
nothing
based our
in our opinion
on.
Should
and
be taken out to cast the long-standing prohibition on the possession of firearms by felons and mental health.
Jay, all right, let's give Jay about 20 seconds to finish up here.
Yeah, basically, we've been asking for that bill for years on the mental health. It could have been a separate bill with an emergency clause. No one would have objected.
All right, fair enough.
Floyd chose to throw it in here just so he could use the emergency clause to prevent a referendum.
Okay. Jay Bozovich, Lane County Commissioner, thank you so much for joining us. Floyd Przanski, thanks for coming back. Back to talk about this more in 1 minute.